and score! Dustin Byfuglien with a blast from the top of the slot. And it doesn't take the Jets long. Just 1:05 into the game. They lead game one, 1-0.
Oh, man. Not exactly what
We wanted to hear last night. But that's the way it ended. 4-2. Golden Knights did not get the win. This is Out of Line. Today, we do not have Brian in the studio. He is out of town, but we will have him on the phone. I have to my left, Alan Snell from LVSportsBiz.com. How you doing, Alan?
Hey, good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to everyone.
Yes, yes, happy Mother's Day to everyone, especially my mom, my wife. Thank you guys for everything you do. Thank you for everything you do out there to all the mothers. Enjoy your day today. Should have a good show on tap today. We're going to get into a little bit of Golden Knights as well. I'm also going to go ahead and talk a little bit about the Las Vegas Lights. We're going to also have Chris Magnum Chapman live from Winnipeg. Have a little report over there. Talk to him. See what he saw. His thoughts on the game.
The game was in effect over by 7.5 minutes into the game. It was 3-0 Winnipeg. And their speed and power really was exhibited early on, and the Golden Knights just did not match the speed and physicality of that club.
Do you think that the fact that they were off for so long had a little bit to do with it?
Yeah, people have been talking about that. You know, the Winnipeg Jets came off a very draining 7-game series with Nashville. They won a game 7 in Nashville, and they seem like they're still wired and ready to go, and the Golden Knights just did not seem to be matching the speed and power of the Jets. And I'm sure we'll be talking with Chris Chapman about that when he calls in shortly.
Once again, this is Out of Line. We are on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 98.9 FM. Also, the number to call if you guys want to give us a call is 702-876-1340. Go ahead and give us a call if you want to talk about Golden Knights or anything else. We will have that going on today as well.
You know, Jose, I do need to mention that yesterday I did go to the watch party downtown at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center.
How was it?
Huge, huge crowd. The number I got was 3,700 people packed into that event center, which is near the D in downtown. Unbelievable atmosphere. The Golden Knights had much of their in-game entertainment staff at the site, and they did a great job at putting on a really fun watch party. It was pretty much watch as if there was as much party as well. I mean, it was one hell of a time there.
What was the actual atmosphere there, though? Well, how were the people feeling, even though they weren't at the game, but they were watching it on that big screen?
It was basically as close as you can get to a T-Mobile arena atmosphere with having an away game.
Gotcha.
And people were, you know, basically screaming. They, you know, keep in mind the Golden Knights had arranged for Bruce Cusick, who is the in-game announcer, to be there on site. So he was kind of stoking the crowd. Mark Shunnuck, who's kind of the MC at the arena, was also there. DJ Joe Green and music director Jake Wagner were on the scene. So there were just it was just a really wonderful, upbeat atmosphere. Obviously, the result was not what people were looking for, but hats off to the hockey team for putting on a great watch party downtown.
And was it open to the public? Was it charged?
Yeah, absolutely. It's free. You do have to go through a security check. And you get wristbanded, but I'd say there were about 3,700 to 4,000 people there, which is a pretty darn nice sized crowd for a watch party. And game two is Monday, and I believe the watch party is at Red Rock.
Now, they always change the watch parties. I have seen that. Sometimes it's at Red Rock. Sometimes it's at Toshiba Plaza.
Yeah, they've had it at the plaza outside the arena as well.
Out of the three locations, though, what would you say is the best
one
to watch?
Right now, I'd have to say yesterday's event to me was, I think, the biggest, most vociferous crowd. And I had a great time, actually. I wrote a story out of the event for LVSportsBiz.com. And, you know, when I talk to fans, it's amazing. Obviously, they're looking for the team to be successful on the ice, but their second point is that just they're just emotionally moved by how much this team has brought the community together.
Gotcha. So we actually do have Chris Magnum Chapman on the line. He was at the game. So this should be interesting. We're going to get a different perspective of someone that was actually at the game that got to see it firsthand and got to see what the fans' reactions were, the players, the interviews, things of that nature. So we're going to go ahead and see if we got Chris on the phone. All right.
Chris, how you doing? Hello, Alan Snell here and Jose back at the back at the studios.
Chris, can you hear us? All right. Looks like we do got some technical difficulties going on there. But anyways, let's get back to the game. Let's go ahead and talk about the game like we were just talking about. The game that you saw last night, what do you think was the reason why they came out so flat? Because obviously Winnipeg came out just firing. They scored within the first minute and a half, I believe it was, of the first period.
You know, we do have
Chris back on the line. Yeah, all right. Chris, you there?
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, brother? How's it going?
Hey, Chris, it's Alan Snell here with Jose. Welcome. Happy to have you on Out of Line. Chris, the one thing that struck me right off the bat, let's just talk quickly about your thoughts on why the team did not seem to match the speed and physicality of the Jets right out of the chute yesterday.
Well, to be honest, you know, I think it may have had something to do with the layoff. Look, they were off 6 days between games, and everyone will say, well, yeah, they had the same problem with San Jose, but the issue was San Jose also had the same amount of time off, basically, between games. And, you know, Winnipeg had just got done with a pretty emotional series. They'd just beaten a really good Nashville team, and I think their confidence was really high going into last night. Plus, look, we've seen it at T-Mobile all season, the way this team comes out when, you know, the crowd is really juiced up. And I've never seen anything like what I saw last night in Winnipeg as far as a crowd being juiced up for a game.
You know, Chris, you raised a really good point. When I was watching the game, it was almost as if I was watching a mirror reflection of how the Golden Knights usually jump on the opposition at T-Mobile Arena by launching a couple, 2-3 goals in the first 10 minutes of the game. The way the Jets came out actually reminded me of what the Golden Knights do in ambushing teams when they come to T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good analogy, because it was very similar to what happens at T-Mobile. You know, the amazing thing was last night during the Canadian anthem, the singer, she stopped singing in the first verse, and the crowd sang the entire song, and it was loud. It was very cool to see, and there's a part, I guess, in the Canadian anthem, and, you know, if there's any Canadians listening, I'm sorry, I don't know the words, but they say the true north. And it was louder than any Knights chant that I'd ever heard, that I've heard all season. So, you know, they're a great crowd, and they really, really pack that arena, and they really support their team. So it was, I think the team, you know, they came out and they felt that right off the bat, and that's kind of what they were able to do, jump on that emotion of the crowd and take an early lead.
Hey, Chris, since you're mentioning the crowd, maybe you can talk a little about how the Winnipeg scene compares and contrasts to the T-Mobile Arena Las Vegas scene. You know, the T-Mobile Arena crowd and the atmosphere has received very high marks this year. A lot of players, opposition fans have mentioned the electricity, the intensity of the home games for the Golden Knights. But from watching the game on TV and looking at the Winnipeg crowd, it seems like they have their own intensity and electricity going on, but maybe in a less kind of dazzling, you know, glitzy kind of way. I was just wondering, what were your observations about the crowd of the fans and the kind of atmosphere created in that particular venue?
Well, you know, when I was talking to a Winnipeg fan after the game, and, you know, he said, yeah, you know, you guys do a really good job down in Vegas. He says, but up here, it's like Halloween. And, you know, people dress up, you know. I mean, obviously in Vegas there's the guy who dresses like Willy Wonka, or there's the guy who looks like Wolverine, the guy who rips his T-shirt like Hulk Hogan. But, you know, they have a lot of people in the stands who are dressed up. There was a girl like Princess Leia. There was a guy dressed up, and he was wearing a wedding dress and a tiara. You know, they really, I think it's like you said, it's not glitzy. There's not a lot of, you know, lights and glamour behind it. But you know, in their own way, they kind of put their own little Canadian Winnipeg stamp on it, because, you know, they're so nice, even when they're trying to taunt Fleury. They sound like they're such nice people when they're doing it. And, you know, Fleury laughed about it. He said, you know, maybe they really love me.
Chris, real quick, man. First of all, congratulations with Salah breaking that record. I know you're pretty excited about that. But going back to
Liverpool just scored again. They're up 3-0. I'm watching it.
Yeah, we have it up here in the studio.
We get Minneapolis NBC up here, so
gotcha.
It's a 7-hour drive away. But thank goodness Minneapolis is there. So
getting back to the hockey game last night, man. I mean, obviously 4-2, not the final we wanted. I was looking at the highlights and I'm going through this freaking goal again, man. What is goaltender interference now? I still don't understand this. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, you want to know what goaltender interference is? Go down to the Orleans or go to the MGM or go to another casino on the strip and just put $200 on red on the roulette wheel and see what happens. Because that's essentially what it's become. It's pretty clear Fleury was hit. And Marc-Andre Fleury, after the game, he's never one to criticize the officials. But I think you could tell by his general demeanor that he thought it was a bad call. I think a lot of guys in the locker room thought it was a bad call. Look, the reality is the NHL has zero idea what the rule. Maybe they know what they want the rule to be, but they have zero consistency when looking at this, because every night it's someone different in that goal situation room, as they call it in Toronto. You know, it's terrible, because the reality is there's a lot of guys who make contact in the crease. There's a lot of goals who were scored that way. And for the officials in Toronto, look, the thing is, there was the linesman ruled no goal immediately. He was right there on the line. He saw everything and he immediately waved his arms, no goal. For the NHL to then go in and overturn that, to me, that's just, after the Marchessault goal in overtime that was called back, it's inexcusable for the NHL to then go and overturn a no goal and rule it a goal on something that was maybe not the same exact play, but very similar, in which a player comes through the crease with minimal contact with the defender, hits the stick of the goalie, because you can clearly see he hits the top of Fleury's stick, and he prevented Fleury from getting in position to make the save. I still think Martin Jones would have been able to get back and make that save. So that's the other thing. It's a terrible rule. The NHL has zero consistency, and I'm not going to say it cost the Golden Knights last night, because there were a lot of things that went wrong for them. But when you find yourself down 3-0 immediately, because the Golden Knights had kind of settled down a little bit after those first two goals. After that, it's like, oh, man, now what? Then Brandon McNabb scored the goal. And after that, the Golden Knights really played a better game, if not for a really great play by Dennis Byfuglien Dustin Byfuglien to put a shot on net, you know, and then be tipped in by Mark Scheifele. Golden Knights only lose that game 3-2, which is pretty amazing considering how awful they started.
So not everybody likes to say that a loss is a good thing. I totally get that. But the fact that they were on such a long break and they have to go to Winnipeg and they lose their first game in the Western Conference Finals, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Isn't that something that they can learn from and capitalize? And just like Gerard Gallant says every single game, one game is not going to basically change the rest of our season.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if I, you know, ever buy into the a loss is a good thing, because, look, you want to win every single game unless you're so good that the only way you're able to teach is to lose, where, you know, you can just turn it on and turn it off. I mean, almost like the Patriots that won 17 games or whatever it was in the when they went undefeated through the regular season, you know, where maybe a loss would have helped them throughout the way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing is, I look at Winnipeg and I see a team that's big. I see a team that's fast. I see a team that was able to clog the neutral zone and really take away the speed of the Golden Knights. And I'm not sure that a loss in this series is a good thing, because I think Winnipeg is a good enough team to where, regardless of the circumstances, they're going to be able to counter whatever Vegas is doing. So every game is going to be huge. And after last night, I'm not convinced that a loss was a good thing, because I just think Winnipeg is so good and they're playing with such great chemistry and they're playing their best hockey right now. It's going to be so tough. Every little play in this series is going to be huge. So I'm not sure it's a good thing, but I do think after talking to some of the players that they are prepared to make the changes that they need to change. And, you know, we'll see what adjustments Winnipeg makes.
Hey, Chris, you just kind of led into my next question, and that was, from talking to the players, how do they plan to be more prepared to come out of the chute in a more robust way compared to game one? Because obviously the sluggish start put them in the hole early. From talking to the players, Chris, what did you learn or what did you get in terms of how they plan to approach getting off to a fast start for game two tomorrow?
Well, you know, they never really tell you anything. But Jonathan Marchessault essentially said, look, we're going to find out how good our team is. You know, we're going to see what we're made of tonight or tomorrow, I should say. You know, they all emphasize they have to get, you know, out of the gate faster. They have to have a great start because once they settle down, I mean, they didn't play bad.
No, I think periods two and three, they were much more competitive. Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, sorry, someone's texting me. Maybe it's Brian. But, you know, they have to, you know, they've got to start better. They all know that. And, you know, we're going to see what they do to start better. You know, the thing is, I knew the crowd was going to be a big part of it last night. And in order to, the funny thing is, you know, for all the great things I said about the Winnipeg crowd, there were moments of that game where they were pretty quiet. And I think when it was 4-2 and Vegas was putting a little pressure on, they were very quiet because I think they knew that it was only one, there was only one play, and all of a sudden they're on the verge of maybe going to overtime or losing, you know. So I think the crowd was very tense. And I think for the Golden Knights to really start fast, they're going to have to come out and they're going to have to play ugly. And what I mean by that is I think they're going to have to do things to take the crowd out of the game. Because when that crowd is into it, they are so loud. It's I kid you not, it's arguably the loudest arena I've ever been in my life. But there's moments where they're quiet. And, you know, they're saying, oh, well, that's because we like to watch the game. I'm not buying that. I think because they understood that Vegas is quick, they can strike quick, and, you know, if not for maybe a terrible overturn and a soft penalty on Alex Tuch, which led to a power play goal, maybe that game goes to overtime last night, and I think those fans know that.
So were the Golden Knights rusty, or are the Winnipeg Jets just that good?
No, I think it was a combination of both. I think, you know, one of the things is after a long layoff like that, the area where it's going to, which is the hardest to turn it on, is goalie. Because he's not seeing game action. Yeah, you can simulate things in practice, but you're not seeing game action as a goalie when you have a 6-7 day layoff like the Golden Knights had. So I think, you know, tomorrow night will be a much better gauge of where this series is than last one. I mean, let's be real. San Jose came out and played terrible that first game as well, and they won game two in Vegas. So, you know, I think tomorrow night will really tell us exactly where the Golden Knights stand in this series. If they're able to win that game tomorrow night, who cares what happened last night? They go up to Winnipeg, they get the split, and they come home for two games where everyone knows it's really tough to win. So, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, look, last night was last night. It's behind them, and that's what they've done all season. And, you know, I think, like I said, tomorrow night's going to be a tell-all for this series.
You know, Chris, you know, the team, when they have stumbled through the regular season, has been really very resilient. They've snapped back, and I'm personally expecting a much better performance the shoot on Monday for game two, and I expect this team to rebound. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they will as well. I think, you know, look, the reality is you can't give up a goal in the first minute, 5 seconds of a game like that. Because right off the bat, they were behind the eight ball. And then immediately after that, Alex Tuch gets called for a really weak cooking call. So Winnipeg was able to capitalize on that, and it was very similar to some of the things the Golden Knights have done. But, you know, the Golden Knights, for as bad as they played in that first 10 minutes, they weren't terrible the rest of the game. So I think, you know, there's a real opportunity for them to win this game tomorrow, and I think they know that, and I think Winnipeg knows that.
What's your thoughts on just being in Winnipeg? You know, what kind of city? What are you doing on your off day today?
Well, they'll skate about 2 o'clock Winnipeg time, which is noon Vegas time. You know, it's a very small city. I haven't been on a highway yet, and I've gone clear from one end of the city to the other, and I haven't had to use a highway, so that's kind of strange. But it's a nice place. The people are really nice. You know, the downtown area is kind of dated a little bit, but you know, it's the people are really great. And you know, I'll be honest, I'm really impressed with the city. I wasn't sure what to expect because I had never been here. But you know, you hear how nice Canadian people are all the time, and I'm not going to lie, I'm every minute of it, I'm like, these people are great.
Hey, Chris, it's been a pleasure talking with you. This is
Alan. I think Brian's blowing up our phone.
So. Yes. Brian Feldman, who typically is here on Sundays without a line, is in Detroit celebrating his dad's 80th birthday. And we're, in fact, going to go to Brian Feldman shortly. Chris, listen, have a great time in Winnipeg, and we'll be looking for your reports today as well as on game day on Monday for game two.
Yeah, I'll see you guys on next Sunday. Have a good one.
Enjoy right. The game, brother. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Bye.
All right, guys. Once again, this is Out of Line on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, 98.9 FM. Today, I'm joined by Alan Snell from LVSportsBiz.com. Brian is not in the studio today, but we do have him on the phone right now. So we're going to go ahead and bring him on and get his thoughts on last night's game.
We're live right now.
What's up, Brian? You're live, brother. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going out there in good old LV?
Terrific. Hey, Brian, first of all, happy 80th birthday to your dad. That's awesome. And we've been watching your Facebook Live reports and also your reunions with your high school and local pals. It's been really great for us to see you having such a good time there.
That's really cool, Al. Thank you very much. Yeah, my dad, we're down at MGM in Detroit, actually about to check out of here. Watch the game with in Hockey Town with Red Wings fans. As you probably see now, I've gotten just about every group to say, go Knights, go, and that is not easy in Detroit.
That's awesome.
So, but they've done it, and it's funny, a little bit of irony out here. There's way more Jets fans than you would imagine, and the reason is Connor Hallebuck. I don't know if you're familiar with, but he is from literally where I moved from when I moved from Vegas. He's from Commerce Township, Michigan, and he played his high school hockey where my son would have gone to high school had I stayed in Michigan in Wald Lake Western. So it's pretty amazing that the irony of that. So people here are familiar with the Winnipeg Jets because they're all following the goaltender. So I'm walking around in a Knights hat, and way more Jets fans around here than that.
That's awesome. Let's get down to hockey business. Brian, what was your take on the performance by the Golden Knights? And do they have the stuff to snap back and rebound for game two?
Well, guys, I'll tell you what. You know, I'm not shocked at all by what I saw after watching Winnipeg play the Predators. And, you know, when they lost in game six at home, to have the resiliency to come back and win in game seven and really in convincing fashion, I was very worried about the Knights. And it looked like, especially early on, that the Winnipeg Jets were a step and a half or a skate and a half faster than the Golden Knights. So that was a concern. You know, so obviously it's a little bit worrying. And you know, listening to Chris and everything else, I think we all, you know, sat back and said, wow, we definitely saw the Golden Knights at a different speed for a portion of that game.
You know, I talked to Chris about how the start of the game reminded me of how the Golden Knights actually jump on the opposition when they come into T-Mobile Arena. And like you said, the team was obviously kind of a stride behind Winnipeg out of the chute on yesterday. What do you think the Golden Knights have to do to rebound and give a much better performance on Monday?
Well, I think, you know, like Chris said, I was listening earlier, I think that they definitely have to get out of the gate a lot quicker. They've got to come out with a pep in their step and jump on it. I don't think it's reason for caution. I agree with Chris also that there is absolutely no such thing as a good loss. This is completely uncharted territory for the Knights. And when I say that, what I mean is they won the first three games of the season. They never really were very far behind in the division, always had it in their sights, if not in front of it. And in the playoffs, they won game one of both series. They've never been really behind in anything. So we are about to see the true resiliency of this team, which I'm looking forward to. One thing I will say that was really, really neat for me, especially being a longtime suffering Detroit fan, and as a matter of fact, the first time in about 25 years that no Detroit team in any sport is going to make the playoffs. That just doesn't happen off where one of them at least gets in. Didn't happen with any this year, and it's probably not going to happen with the Tigers. But my point is this team, with 5 minutes to go in the game, they're down two goals. If I was watching any Detroit team play a sport to be down by what's considered two goals plus is somewhat of a significant margin with 5 minutes to go in a hockey game, I would have turned away and gone and did something else. But this Golden Knights team has been so resilient all year, has surprised us so many times that I was still watching with 57 seconds to go. And in my heart, believing there might still be a chance. That was the coolest thing for me about the entire experience, is I didn't give up. And as a Detroit fan, hey, we're used to giving up.
Well, you know, the team has had a few stumbles during the regular season, and they responded well. Remember, they lost several games in a row at home in the middle of the season and rebounded and finished strong with two very strong games against the Blues and the Sharks to end the season and clinch the division at home. I suspect the team will be prepared to respond to Winnipeg.
Well, I'm sorry, Alan. One more time, you broke up a little bit there.
Oh, I just think the team has had a few stumbles during the regular season, but they finished strong during the home schedule when they beat the Blues and the Sharks back to back to clinch the division. And I think they will respond well to adversity after Game One. You've seen the whole season, Brian. You've been an eyewitness to this year. How do you think they'll respond to the adversity?
Well, I think, Alan, you're spot on. This team has responded. There's nothing that they're going to do that will surprise us dramatically right now based on what we did. I think a lot of the fans in Vegas, you know, obviously have huge expectations. Anything but the cup at this point, so a lot of people will be disappointed. But we all know how great this accomplishment is. It's incredible what they've done to this point. And, yes, I think they will respond. I don't know if responding means a win. I don't know if responding means winning this series, but I will tell you the Golden Knights will not disappoint us, Las Vegas. They will come out. They will play hard. They will never quit. It's just, this is playoff hockey, and the Winnipeg Jets are playing some of the best hockey of the season at the greatest time, but so are the Knights. And Marc-Andre Fleury, one thing with him is, boy, does he respond after losses, as we have seen time and time again. So I'm excited to see how they'll come out. Boy, Monday is just such a crucial game. You want to steal one of the first two so desperately. And Alan, 100%, I think that they will respond. Like I said, I don't know what that means as far as winning the series goes, but they won't disappoint. That I feel really strongly about.
Brian, let me ask you a question, man. You already said it. There's nothing this team can't do that doesn't keep, you know, they keep surprising us. It's amazing what they do. 501 odds in the preseason to win the Stanley Cup. Now they're the West favorites. First expansion team to win in 50 years to win multiple playoff series. 8-2 through the franchise's first 10 playoff games, the best start in NHL history. If this team does come back, win this series, and win this cup, can we finally put this to rest and say that this is the greatest sports story in the history of sports?
Well, I think in that case, you know, as Alan will probably say with a statement like that, Jose, because it is so profound, that we'd have to go back and research and really do some due diligence to call it, even no matter what, the greatest story in the history of sports. That's such a boastful statement. But I will say that it is definitely going to be up there. In my life, I will say it'll be the greatest sports story I've ever had the pleasure of covering, for sure. It is something I've never seen before. I doubt I'll ever see again. And I'm going to feel that way whether they win the cup or not from this point forward. But, yeah, Jose, I mean, if they win the cup, this is going to be monumental. It is going to be a parade from one end of Las Vegas Boulevard down to the other. And if it's anything like the productions we've seen at T-Mobile Arena this year, my friend, oh, my God, I cannot imagine Vegas. The time is going to stand still in Las Vegas. And I don't think the time standing still in Las Vegas is something that's ever happened. So, wow, is all I can say, Jose. I think that would happen. One thing I really want to say quickly, though, guys, is about the goal and the interference. I know, you know, you talked to Chris about that, and he said, you know, I liked his answer.
Yeah, the goal by Armia.
Put it on red at the casino. But I'll tell you this right now. If you really go back and look at that, number one, since it was called no goal on the ice, and the official was right, he was almost in the net. That's why the goal, it should have stood no goal, even with the challenge by the Winnipeg Jets. However, if it had been called a goal, I would not have complained either, because the deal that would have been called a goal, I wouldn't have complained that they didn't overturn it, and Gerard Gallant challenged it on the other end, because clearly, if you look at it, Ryan Carpenter shoved the Winnipeg Jet player, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the guy's name that got credit for the goal, but they shoved him into the net. Or he shoved him into Fleury. Barely shoved him, and he was a little bit farther off. But there's no question, if you ever put on skates, he did not have enough time to stop before he hit, before he hit Fleury. He did it. And so, technically, I wouldn't have, whatever the call on the ice was, it should have stood. Because I don't think there was enough evidence to overturn a call. But I still think that that's not the worst goalie interference penalty I've seen this year. And I don't think as Knights fans, we want to start making complaints and making excuses like Magnum said. That goal, to me, was a goal because there was because there was goalie interference.
But see, it's hard for people to say that we got to let it go and let it, put it to rest. But this isn't the first time it's happened. This has happened two or three times in the last couple series. Like something's got to change. Yes or no?
Yeah, well, that's the disconcerting part about it, Jose, is that we have been on the bad side of all the calls, it seems like. So that's why, as Vegas Golden Knights fans and members of the media that have watched this, we're like, WTF, I mean, this is when is this going to stop? It keeps hurting the Knights, one side or the other. So that's the frustration I have with the call. But I'm saying with each individual call, dissecting them, and looking at yesterday's game, watch it in slow motion. There is no question Carpenter pushed him and pushed him hard enough that he could not have stopped before he hit Fleury. He couldn't have. So it wasn't his fault that he ran into Fleury. It truly wasn't. He didn't do anything extra. He didn't throw an elbow or push the stick out of the way, nothing. And so for that reason, again, had it been called a goal on the ice, I wouldn't have had a problem. But I thought because it was called no goal for interference, and when you watch it, even in slow time, I'm saying, it's so ticky-tack that I'm not gonna go back and call this a goal now. I called it no goal, but there's been so much, and that's what I kind of felt. But I'm not going to use it as an excuse. We were definitely, for the majority of that game, a step slower, and that's why the Golden Knights lost that hockey game.
I just want to remind our listeners to Out of Line that we are talking with Brian Feldman, who typically is here in the studio hosting his show, Out of Line. And we're talking to Brian from Detroit, who's visiting family. This is Alan Snell with LVSportsBiz.com, coming off the pinch hit.
I'm coming off the pinch hit today for Brian, huh?
Yes, and also Jose, who is Brian's normal wingman. And we're just so happy, even though you're not here, Brian, that we're able to get your thoughts and to have your voice on the show. So it's terrific to be hearing you again on a Sunday.
Not only that, brother, tell the people that you're now part of the 21st century, man. You have an iPhone 8 Plus.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Alan, I appreciate what you said. I don't want to call attention to that. Jose made sure that I was hooked up with a modern day phone so I could come back here and share some of those videos, which more or less have been for my family, but it's been an overwhelming response, which is really cool. A lot of views, a lot of people calling.
Oh, your Facebook Live videos are getting a lot of views, man. It's crazy.
What's crazy is people that have seen it, fraternity brothers from college, people that I haven't connected with in ages, found out I'm back in Michigan through the videos, and I'm playing golf at a beautiful country club with an old buddy of mine that I played football with for years. Here, and he just happened to see I was coming to town, called me up, said, "Hey, you want to be part of our force on Monday?" It's a beautiful country club, so that was kind of cool. But realistically, it's been wonderful. My dad, 80 years old, and my mom passed a couple of years ago. So today is kind of a little bit of a rough one for me. But to get to spend it with my dad, we were at the casino playing poker together until 5:30 this morning, Detroit time, and loved every minute of it. I'm just soaking all this up. And how great is God to be able to make it so that the first two games of the Golden Knights were before I get home. And me and Jose had been talking about this. Jose, I'm not missing a game, man. I mean, Wednesday night, I come back Tuesday and it's game three. How lucky did I get, man, really?
Hey, it worked out to your favor, man. We talked about it all week. You're like, I hope I don't have to miss a flight. You didn't miss a flight. I hope I don't have to miss a game. You're not going to miss a game, man. So it all worked out, brother. I'm glad you're out there enjoying your time. Thank you for letting us hijack your show today. You know, even though you're not here, we're trying to do our best of our abilities to do what we can for you. You know what I mean?
No, Jose's great. Hey, straightbetsports.com. Check that out, his podcast. And I'll tell you what, I say it all the time, man. And, one of my buddies is like, well, is that LB Sports business? Is it an advertising thing? I'm like, no, man, I am an avid reader of Allen's. And if you don't go to lpsportsbiz.com and check it out, it's a whole different side. It's the business side of sports, and people, you're going to love this stuff. Alan writes from the heart, but it is a unique aspect and a unique view of things that you think about or you don't really think about. And when you read his article, it's like, wow, yeah, that's cool. And Alan, I love what you do, man. I'm really honored, blessed that you and Jose are part of the show. You're doing a great job today. Carry it home, man. And I'm going to say this right now because I'm in Vegas. I'm in Detroit. I'm not in the studio. I'm not at T-Mobile Arena. Monday night, go, Knights, go.
Hey, I have to ask you because we've been doing it every game. What is your prediction for Monday night?
You know, I think my heart is screaming at me. Brian, say the Knights are going to win. Say the Knights are going to win game two. Say, I think that Fleury is going to give us one of the best performances we've seen in the playoffs, and the Knights are going to go down 2-1 in game two, and it's going to be a tight one. And I hope that, you know what, I'm predicting against them because I love to be wrong, and that's what I'm hoping for more than anything. But I just think that this team is not a juggernaut, but they are very, 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 very good and talented, and it is going to be a handful. So if we lose game two, they just have to come back to T-Mobile Arena and win the next two. But I think I'm hoping for a long series because I think a long series will benefit the Golden Knights.
Well, listen, Brian, thank you so much for your thoughts about lvsportsbiz.com. I always enjoy talking with you on your show every Sunday about sports business news in Las Vegas. It's an amazing time period in this market. It's phenomenal with everything going on from the business and stadium construction side. And I appreciate the chance to talk with you about the topic. And I can't wait to see you when you get back into town, man. Have a great time with your family.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to it, guys. Carry it home. Yeah, we'll be back in studio next Sunday going at it again. And hopefully we're talking a lot more about Knights next Sunday in a very positive realm. That would mean they're still playing, and that would be great. Guys, appreciate it. Love you. Vegas, love you. And Mags, enjoy yourself in Winnipeg. Nick, thanks for taking over the show. We'll see you next week.
Have safe travels, dude.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, this is Out of Line. I am Jose Volonte. He is Alan Snell to my left. We have Nick today behind the big board taking care of all the calls and everything else for us. I do believe we're going into a break pretty soon, so we will be right back.
Hi, this is Bubby, and I would like to personally invite you to Bubby's University. We don't offer classes, but we don't check report cards either. The atmosphere here at Bubby's University is ideal for watching sports, and with over 40 high-definition TVs, there's no such thing as a bad seat. You're welcome to enroll 24 hours a day. That's right, we never close. Sign up for any of our 40 draft beers. If you like to play pool, darts, beer pong, cornhole, foosball, or even if you're into gaming, come on in. Food is not a requirement at Bubby's University, but it is a subject that we take seriously. We major in things like footlong chili cheese corn dogs, tater tot skillets with all kinds of toppings, and deep fried mac and cheese balls, just to name a few. We have two happy hours every day with half off specials, and UNLV students that show their school ID get their first beer free. Bubby's University is located at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. No diplomas, just a great time every time.
The 51s are celebrating its 35th season playing AAA level professional baseball in Las Vegas. As the affiliate of the New York Mets, you could have seen in recent years the likes of Noah Syndergaard and Jacob deGrom take the mound at Cashman Field. Other players like John Kruk, Tony Gwynn, Roberto Alomar, Eric Gagne, Ozzie Guillen, and Matt Kemp also made stops during their minor league career right here in Las Vegas. This year's team will feature the number one shortstop prospect in all of baseball, Amad Rosario, with other top Mets prospects like Las Vegas locals Chasen Bradford and Paul Sewald. Not to mention the top prospects from 12 other Major League Baseball affiliates that will be playing nightly against the 51s. If you haven't before, now is the time to explore one of our season ticket packages. For as little as $99, you can be an 11-game mini-plan season ticket holder. Call 702-943-7200 or visit lv51.com for more information.
Buffalo Wild Wings is America's favorite spot for wings, beer, and sports. And after listening to Out of Line, there's absolutely no better place in Las Vegas to watch your favorite sporting event than Buffalo Wild Wings at the 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Plaza. You'll be watching every game on projection and flat screen, strategically placed so you don't miss a play. Dig into their world-famous wings covered in your choice of Buffalo Wild Wings sauces. Or check out the menu where there's plenty of appetizers and entrees that will conquer any game day appetite. If you have what it takes to hang all day and through the night games, you'll you'll get to experience two happy hours featuring several appetizers reduced to only $4 and great beer and drink specials. And during football season, Out of Line's Brian Feldman will be there to host the best Monday night football party in town. Get there early, grab a seat, and order the food and drink specials to get raffle tickets to win NFL replica jerseys, wing parties, and much more. Prizes are given away before, during, and after the games. Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Plaza at 215 in North Durango. The only place to go in Las Vegas for wings, beer, and sports.
Heatwave Sports.
This is ridiculous. It's absolutely garbage. The analytics are a certain part of the game. They shouldn't take over the game. I love all these morons out here that celebrate Billy Beane as this genius. The guy has no rings. The guy has not had one playoff series win ever. So let's stop celebrating Billy Beane. Let's stop celebrating the analytics, okay, Tim? It's disgusting. It's ruining the game, and I hope Billy loses every damn game from here on out.
Weekends at 10 p.m. on Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 1340 AM.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
That's right. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information. Today, what's on tap is LVSportsBiz.com Minute with Alan Snell. What's going on, Alan? What we got today?
Jose, you know, every Sunday I usually talk with Brian about a sports business issue here in Las Vegas. And this past week I wrote a story about a comment made by Coach Gerard Gallant of the Golden Knights. And if you go to his press conferences, he's really a traditional classic coach in the sense that there's a lot to me as I'm not a sports writer. I'm more of a business writer taking that approach. There seems to be a lot of the typical kind of cliches that you hear at press conferences. But he said a really interesting thought in terms of how the Golden Knights team is very special. And what makes it special is not just the ability on the ice, but the character and the high leadership qualities. And that they're, quote-unquote, just basically really great, good guys. And it got me thinking about how these kind of qualities are important factors in hiring people. And these are, and I thought that business model could be applied to really the general business world. And what's interesting, I think, about those kind of issues is that I think they're given lip service. I think people always say, oh, we want to hire high quality people, good leadership skills, good guys. But at the end of the day, sometimes people get easily influenced and persuaded by the resume, by who you know, by the context, by the contacts, by the connections. And I think in this particular team, if you were not showing high quality leadership skills, if you were not, quote unquote, that high character person, we've seen them, we've interviewed the players almost to a player. We're talking about really decent, really good human beings besides being quality hockey players. I think you're going to see that more emphasized in the business world when businesses, not just in sports, but whether you want to open a pizzeria or a PR agency or any kind of business, I think people are going because of the tone set by the owner, Bill Foley. I think you're going to see much more of a conscious effort to not only hire people with the skill set, but also with the character set. So that was pretty much a story I wrote for LVSportsBiz.com this week. And, check that out, because I think that's a blueprint that I think that could be applied to the general business world.
Great stuff as always. If you guys have not checked out Alan Snell's page, it is lvsportsbiz.com. You do have over 50,000 subscribers.
Now we're actually, I've pushed over 75,000 readers. Very nice. Since we launched last June. I also just want to just plant a little seed for the listeners for Out of Line. One of the great features of lvsportsbiz.com has been our photography. And in a few weeks, we're going to have a special LVSportsBiz.com photo show.
Nice.
And okay. I'll be bringing people up to date on that. Everyone obviously will be invited, and I'll let people know when that's happening.
Awesome. Great stuff. LVSportsBiz.com. Don't forget, guys, go ahead and check it out. We actually have someone on the line right now. They want to talk about that controversial goal last night. Chris, what's going on, brother?
Guys, outstanding job, both of you, jumping in for Mr. Feldman. And Nick, nice, too. Handle a little, you know, Magnum action, too. You got to love it on a Sunday morning. Chris, but, yeah, you know what? I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you guys want to talk about the Las Vegas Lights and some other things. But I wanted to kind of jump on what you were talking about, Jose, with Brian, regarding that goaltender interference and how the Vegas Golden Knights have kind of been dealing with this here for the past couple of weeks in the playoffs. And Alan and Jose, look, there really does need to be something done because it's absolutely ridiculous. It's not so much, you know, about the calls, because look, it's about how they're being handled. And we saw what went down last night when you know, Gerard Gallant was so up in arms, and rightfully so, you know, bringing over the referees. But, you know, and some of the broadcasts on the television side of things, they were talking about it, saying, look, you know, the referees, it's kind of been taken out of their hands because it's been sent up to Toronto to make the call. And it just doesn't make any sense to me how you can have the referees on the ice make the call, and it's absolutely no way can it be definitively reversed where you can say that's not goaltender interference when it was obvious that Marc-Andre Fleury's stick was interfered with and he was not able to make an initial movement as far as a save. And yet in Toronto, they're going to overturn the call. One thing if on the ice, you're going to make that call and say, oh, you know, it wasn't goaltender interference, it's a good goal, and, you know, they're just confirming it in Toronto. But when you start overturning calls, and that's exactly what went down, of course, what we saw in the two previous series where they had calls that were made on the ice overturned, that's what gets a lot of people up in arms. I know some people out there are going to say, hey,
you know, Chris,
you know, we're in the bag for the Golden Knights, and we're, you know, so we're, you know, we're kind of partial. But, I mean, give me a break. Every single time it's going to be overturned, and you're going to come to that, you know, understanding that that's what the call is going to be. I just don't think it's right, and I think there does need to be something done, like Jose, like what you said regarding the rule.
Yeah, Chris, you know, I was just going to interject here that I recall watching the game live, and if you remember, the ref on the ice was absolutely decisive.
He was absolutely adamant, right?
Yes,
that it was goaltender interference.
Yeah, and it was not even, I mean, right off the bat, he waved off, you saw the motion of his arms waving off the goal. He was extremely adamant that there was just no goal and the interference, and that was that's the crazy thing. You had a referee only a few feet from the action, very decisive, very adamant, and then, you know, a few minutes later, 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
And then the guys on the call as well too, Alan, were saying yes, that Marc-Andre Fleury's stick was deflated, you know, was bounced off of, and you know, it absolutely interfered. And but then the, you know, they kind of wavered a little bit later on as the decision was being made. I just don't understand how in Toronto they could come back and say absolutely definitively, which is what that is, right? You have to have absolute definitive evidence that to overturn that call. How are the officials in Toronto saying, oh yeah, that definitely got to overturn that? That was not goaltender interference. And I don't want to hear this, oh, it was, you know, the puck had gone, it was going to go in anyway. That's not the point. I mean, if it's goaltender interference, it's goaltender interference. I don't care where the puck was, or, you know, where the trajectory was expected to be. You know, if it's goaltender interference and you can't definitively call it, it shouldn't happen. So look, I was irate, you know, and I didn't have a dog in the fight. I didn't have any money on it or anything, but it was still, I was
no see win special on that one.
And for it to continue to go against the Golden Knights in that way, just it makes it very frustrating.
I mean, I hope that after this postseason, the freaking rules committee gets together, the officiating, and they actually try to figure this out and say, you know what, we need to see what is goaltender interference, whether we have to add you tapping the stick, whether being inside the crease. It has to change because, like I told Brian, one time in the playoffs or during the regular season, a controversial call, I get it. This is the third time, I believe, that this has happened in this Stanley Cup playoffs for the Golden Knights or in a Golden Knights game. So obviously something needs to change, and it needs to change fast. Chris, man, I appreciate you calling us, man. You know we're short on time. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Have a good weekend, you guys. Nick, hey, the Sharks will be back next year, brother. It's all good.
Good to chat with you, Chris. Talk to you in a week.
Facts this if you don't like that. Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact this. Wow. So the fact is, we have another professional team in Las Vegas, aside from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And that is the Las Vegas Lights FC.
You know, Jose, it was cool to see you at one of the last home games. The Lights, as you mentioned, is one of the several new teams in the market, along with the obviously the Golden Knights and the Las Vegas Aces women's basketball team. Mm-hmm. And I think it was only about last week I was roaming the Cashman Field stands, and who do I hit? But Jose Vellante, yeah, and his lovely wife taking in the action. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk to you. You know, people who have not been to Lights games might not understand the kind of atmosphere for the fan that's at the game. You know, you were there as a fan. You were not necessarily up in the press box as a sports reporter. Talk to me a little about the fan experience when you go to a Las Vegas Lights soccer match.
First of all, you did mention my wife, so if I don't say this, I'm going to get murdered today. Bernice Vellante, I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for everything you do for me and the kids. I appreciate you. With that being said, yes, going to a soccer game and being there and not covering the game, like you said, as in the media aspect, it's a completely different atmosphere. It's something that I have not felt at Cashman in a long time. I've been living here for a little over 10 years, and the only time I've ever seen that stadium that packed is normally during Big League weekend, or if a dollar beer night gets that packed during the 51s game. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad thing for the 51s. I'm just saying that it's rare to see that stadium so packed. And the way that the fans get into it.
Oh, by the way, Jose, they're averaging about 8,000 fans a game.
Correct. They're averaging, that's a pretty good average to get. And it's not only Mexican people, because a lot of people are saying there's a lot of Mexican fans coming out. It's a huge Hispanic following. If you see the fans, the way they come in with the flags, all the flares that they have, Chelis even hangs out with the fans as they're walking in sometimes. That's a different type of experience that you don't see at any other type of soccer match. I've been to MLS soccer games. I've been to Mexico versus Iceland friendlies. It's completely different with this type of atmosphere that they have. It's a smaller stadium. It's more family-based. And believe it or not, people are starting to respect the whole chant that people don't like. I'm not going to say the word because some people could get offended by it, but they have dropped it a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed that yourself. Well, it's not as much as it used to be.
Well, something needs to be pointed out. The Las Vegas Lights do need to be commended for taking action about that word that's chanted when the opposition goalie boots the ball.
Correct.
And the PA announcer actually yells Viva Light, mm-hmm, to try to drown out the word chant. And also, if you remember, Jose, El Chelis actually did a video.
That plays before every game. Yes, now. Yes.
Yes. Advising the fans to please do not use the word. So hats off to the Las Vegas Lights for taking action and on that particular issue.
Now, I'll explain to you guys. I'm half Mexican, so I have Mexican heritage in me. So for those of you that don't know much about soccer or don't know much about the chant, a lot of Hispanic people or Mexican people like to say, well, it's a culture thing. We use it during the game. We don't mean it to disrespect anyone. And I totally get that. There's a lot of chants. There's different songs that teams use. But in this day and age, with a lot of the stuff that's going on and has been going on in the world, it's kind of time to push back and get away from that word.
It's uncalled for at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, correct. And I've even said it. I've tweeted about it throughout the years. I don't like it. I hate it. I've never chanted it. I've never yelled it during a game because I think it's disrespectful and I think it has no part in the game.
Yes, and also Las Vegas is a diverse community.
Correct.
And, you know, we have to understand the setting here. What else did you that do you think, you know, for fans who might not go to, haven't been to a soccer game, you know, this might sound a little silly, but like even the food offerings are kind of cool. It's a very kind of international feel that makes it feel like you're back in Mexico City or any other big soccer town. Talk about just how the soccer atmosphere gives you kind of the cultural flavor of an international feel.
Yeah, tickets starting at $15, I believe. That's not bad. If you like drinking Hispanic beer, they have Mexican beer. They have beer from Estrella, which is the brewery in Mexico, which does Modelo as well. They have the Michelada cans, which is something that a lot of Hispanic people like to do. They like the Micheladas. I don't know if you've ever had one yourself. A little bit of tomato juice, some spices in there. Drink your beer, and we're good.
And the food trucks, too.
And the food trucks that are outside is amazing. The parties that they're doing before these games, it's unreal. The food trucks that they have, all the games for the kids. They have some of the players out there going, giving autographs. The taco trucks. I mean, they're bringing a Hispanic feel to the game, not just a ballpark feel to the game, basically. And I do like that.
Well, you've been listening to Jose Vellante, who just kind of gave a little summary of what it's like to go to a Las Vegas Lights soccer game. My name is Alan Snell with LVSportsBiz.com, and we've been pinch hitting for Brian Feldman, who's normally here during the 8 to 9 hour on Sunday mornings for Out of Line, which is a terrific radio program, 1340 a.m. Tomorrow's the big day. Game 2, people want or are hungry for victory in Las Vegas. Jose, what's your call for game two?
Man, what do I say? Where do I start? To be honest with you, I mean, if they cannot give up a goal within the first 5 minutes, in my opinion, of this game, because they gave up a goal within the first minute of the last
fast game. Start is necessary.
Fast start is necessary, and not only that, like Brian said it, I've always been a person that likes the better pass, but not in hockey. He said, shoot, shoot, shoot. Golden Knights need to outshoot the Winnipeg Jets today. They literally need to have more shots on goal in order for them to win the game. That's what I think. I don't see them losing two games in a row. The way this team is playing the playoffs, I can't see it. I think the fact that they lost, they're going to come in hungry. They want this game more than anything. And my opinion, I think they come out with, I'm going to say 3-1 victory tomorrow night.
I think the game's going to be a very competitive, intense match. I think the game will be extremely competitive, really right out of the chute. Right after face-off, I don't think you're going to see another 3-0 deficit for sure. And I'm expecting an extremely hard-hitting, competitive match between these are two, I think, high-quality teams. They might not have all the pizzazz and panache of all the former high-profile teams, but you're going to be seeing a great hockey match Monday night.
Who has to stand out more than anybody? Obviously, we know Marc-Andre Fleury always stands out. He does his thing. In your opinion, who has to do more in this game for the Golden Knights to have a better opportunity than they did last night?
Well, a guy I think who has to step up is David Perron. I mean, he's always been a great offensive player. I consider him one of the top six forwards on the team. And I think Perron has to step up. And also, they need to get some good production out of the number three, number four lines as well to bolster the offensive production.
If they lose tonight, if they lose on Monday night, is it time to panic?
No, not at all. In fact, I would I recommend that people I know fans kind of overreact, either good or whether it's good or bad, really. But I believe in the resiliency of this team, and I think it's been a magical year. Winnipeg obviously is a formidable opponent. They have just both size and speed. They have just some really gifted, talented players. But the Golden Knights have responded all season long. I see no reason why it's not going to happen Monday night.
Alan, where will you be watching the game on Monday night?
That's a good question. For LVSportsBiz.com, I've been kind of making the rounds. I've hit everywhere from a hockey bar called Brando's.
I don't want to cut you off. Sure. I know we have a few minutes here quick. Can you just real quick let the people know about the article you did on Jason Greco?
Oh, yes.
The Wolverine guy.
Yes, about a week ago. Actually, I think it was a round two game. LVSportsBiz.com visited Brando's, and Jason Greco is really one of the most well-known fans. He is the Wolverine-looking dude at games, and he's quite an individual to interview. Check out LVSportsBiz.com. Just Google Jason Greco and LVSportsBiz, and we're looking forward to a hell of a week.
Once again, guys, this has been Out of Line. Thank you once again for Brian Feldman joining us on the phone from Detroit. Chris Magnum Chapman from Winnipeg giving us his little Vegas Golden Knights report. Alan Snell to my left from LVSportsBiz.com. Thank you very much. Nick behind the big boards. Jose Vellante, Straight Bet Sports. Check me out. This has been Out of Line. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next Sunday.